All right. So I've been doing a lot of prayer with, reading and studying Daniel, and kind of also with what's been going on in the world today, not only the world, but like us, particularly as a nation, and thinking how this book, not only for me, but, hopefully for you guys as well, is will be an example and also a lesson for how we are to walk in this world, especially the way it is right now. And reading through this, I thought a lot about growing up and, that term status quo. And it's pretty much means like a state of affair. The way things are, they're not different, and they're not distinct. And I thought as kids, or especially when I was in school, we don't want to be different. We don't want to be distinct. We want to be in a group. We want to be like others. And a lot of this, what happens is it becomes peer pressure or some type of pressure from the outside to be a certain way. And thinking about this conformity, I think about Romans 12:2, where Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. And so thinking about this, we need to transform, not only to think about back in school, but even right now, because back then we were children in school, but right now we're still children of God. And we need to transform our inner person, our inner self. And the way our lifestyle is, our practical lifestyle. And then once we could transform our inner self and then our lifestyle, that will in turn help transform the world that we live in. And so I'm excited. I've been super excited about going through this book, and just excited with how practical it is, how remarkable, and then how just prophetic it is. And as we go through the book, Daniel, we'll see that the first half, of course, is centered around Daniel himself as a man. And then the second half is about Daniel and his the message. And so thinking about Daniel, I know not long ago, Pastor Rich had went through Revelation. And one of the key things I took away with Daniel is that without understanding Daniel, the book of Revelation would actually be a mystery. And you'll kind of, as we go through this, you'll see how everything is just kind of ties together with that. So now, thinking, why did Israel end up in Babylon? And it's because they kept on worshiping these false gods, false idols. And the Lord warned them over and over again. And, one of the things I think about is, just one, how patient God is. And, he gives us plenty of warnings, so we can't say that he's never told us. But he warned them over and over again, stop, turn around, but they didn't pay any attention. So now thinking about this is, do we live in a modern Babylon? And Revelation, it shows how Babylon was important in the role of the end times. And it says here in Judges 21:25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So thinking about how Babylon was, and just thinking, are we in a modern Babylon? There's indulging in sin. They praise other gods. There's the squelching of religion. So now we think about, okay, are idols being glorified in America? Let alone the world, of course, but right now there's so much greed, sex without marital attachment, education, teaching materials that are anti-Christ, and that is just a piece of the picking. There's so much going on right now that really came out of this, and so we now live in a world that is become a different country from what it was before, and just like Daniel did. And thinking about this, and in the past, I used to kind of, but in the past, I used to think about it as, you know, a little bit more serious. Now I just kind of kid around about it, but I used to always joke about, you know what? I just want to move back to Portugal. I can't take it here anymore. And it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, every country, every place will have its issues. And, you know, maybe it's just less over there. It's not so, and maybe it hasn't caught up with over there. And I joked about it. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, you're against America, but you served in the military. I'm like, I'm not against America. I'm not against any of that. And I'm very patriotic. I'm thankful for whatever I've done. But it gets to a point, it's like, you start to sit there and say, what is going on? And now you think about, okay, Babylon, you know, whether it's, you know, with back in Daniel's time or even now, are Christians being wiped out? And we think about this and everything that's going on. There's a common theme that we'll see in Daniel where it's like, it's either eat the king's food or die. It interpret the dream or die. The king's idols or die. There's a theme here. And around the world, you know, they're trying to stop the gospel. They're trying to stop all this. And even in some countries, you can even be put to death. You'll be killed. You know, it's just a lot of stuff that's going on. Okay. And it's, you'll see commonalities between this. So, you know, whether then and now, we might find ourselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. And thinking about that, Daniel was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He was stuck between God and Nebuchadnezzar. Either follow Nebuchadnezzar and then you displease God, or you reject Nebuchadnezzar and then you get put to death. So we'll see lessons. We'll see examples of how we're supposed to walk in this world that we live in. You know, I read this one book, but it kind of goes out, thinking about Daniel, by the grace of God, we can live among the lions, thrive in Babylon, and transform our world. It'll take standing firm in the faith, prayer, just seeking guidance from God, and going from there. And it starts there. And it's almost like one of those things, you know, we need to dare to be like Daniel. And there's going to be four principles that we see here before we get actually into the word and the passage that will be true for us as well. So as we open up Daniel, we'll see it actually opens up and there is a crisis. It's like a mess. So let me read through. We're actually going to try to get through the first chapter. I am reading through the ESV, and we'll start on Daniel taken to Babylon. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, which some of these vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Asphanez, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of eunuchs. And the chief of eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in the worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they drank and gave them vegetables. As for the four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all the literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in the matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in all of his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. So, first principle we're going to see here is life happens unexpectedly. You might plan and plan and it will change. So we see in just the first 4 verses, King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in control, but he was just a puppet. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim to Nebuchadnezzar. So it's, you know, just like the puppets you see in the plays. And there's a bigger picture here, and we don't get to see this. But then also, the key point you want to take away from this as well is, if you look in verse 2, there's a key aspect, and you'll see this a few times through chapter 1, and it says, and the Lord gave. And there's an importance about understanding this is that we'll see how it can also provide comfort when things seem out of control or it's just seem lost or just kind of feels like it's just like unimaginable. We have to remember that part where it talks about, and the Lord gave comfort. We see in Isaiah 40 verses 1 through 2, it says here, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all their sins. So thinking about this, when we seem lost, there's some issues that's going on. Remember, and the Lord gave. God is just working behind the scenes, and he's working his purpose out. And he does the same thing for us. And we have to understand that part. And that's where it provides comfort, is the Lord gave. Okay. God won't give us anything that we cannot handle. I wouldn't say control, but we cannot handle. But we have to have him to be able to do this. And so kind of going through the first few verses, you know, the first attack, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't destroy Jerusalem. He took the cream of the crop. He took the youth. He took the men and the treasures from them. And thinking about all this first attack and just how everything happened where they handed King Jehoiakim over to Nebuchadnezzar, God allowed this to happen. And God did this to allow Daniel to be put into a key position. It's almost like basketball, right? You got your point guard and he's setting up the play, right? Well, God is setting up the play to allow Daniel to be where he needs to be. And he does this. It's a divine setup. And so, yes, thinking about the first principle, life happens unexpectedly. Daniel probably was like, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? You know, initial thought, right? It happened unexpectedly. But the thing is, God works supernaturally. Okay. And when we think about this, I'm sure the people of Judea, they were like, how could God allow this to happen? How can God allow Nebuchadnezzar to come in here during this attack? How can God do this? A lot of people ask this question. And a lot of times today, we find ourselves asking similar questions. Some people have more of understanding, or sometimes we have to remind ourselves and just, you know, dig back into the word. But how? You know, and thinking about this, if Daniel was to answer that question today, he would sit there and say, brothers, these things have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And sometimes we don't see that. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't see the divine setup. Joseph, if we think about his predecessor, you know, he would have said, my brothers, he would have told those brothers that sold them into the slavery and all, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for good, you know. So there's a bigger picture. And I think about back in 2009, 2010, I was working security as an interim security manager at the Cerritos Mall. And I've been working there for 8 years. I really wanted that promotion. I wanted to be the security manager. I felt like I was well qualified, and it came down to the interviews between me and someone else. And I ended up not getting the promotion. And I was upset, a lot of emotions going on. And I asked why couldn't I get it? I was already doing the job for almost 2 years. Why? You know, it's almost similar to why would God allow this? Why would God not let me get this position? At the time, I didn't understand that. But if I look back now, God had a different divine setup for me. And he had a different plan. And it ended up going a different route, which led me to where I am today. And there's many rewards from that that could be listed. One, just obedience of God, for God, a beautiful family, beautiful children, you know, surrounded by beautiful people. And, but again, we have to be obedient to God. The second principle that comes out from this, and kind of going before getting into the second principle, again, it's like one of those things where I was expecting to be the security manager, but life happened unexpectedly. I was thrown off course, but it was my own personal course, and God realigned my course of action. Second principle, the world demands conformity. So Nebuchadnezzar instructed Aphnez, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the captives to him. And, you know, he said, we saw it in the verses, those without blemish, those are gifted with wisdom, possessions of knowledge. You know, he wanted, you know, a certain group, like the cream of the crop, like if he was picking his dream team almost. And we'll see in the next few verses, 5-7, there was a point where Daniel was offered the king's food and wine, but he didn't want to defile himself. The food was meant for idols. The wine, it could cloud judgment. There's just so much that wasn't part of that. And you got to remember too, we live in a world, kind of thinking back to our time now, is that we live in a world that has standards and values, and that they want you to conform to it. They want you to be aligned with it, whether whether if you want to look at it politically, you know, they want you to be Democrats, they want you to be Republican, they want you to believe in this policy, they want you to believe in that policy. There is an aspect of that. And that's just an example for politics. It could go any direction, whether it's at work, within the family and environment. But here we see with Daniel and his friends is that they were uncomfortable with not conforming to their idea of to eating the king's food and drinking the king's wine. But then also those in Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, they weren't comfortable as well, you know, saying, what? These people don't want to partake in the eating of this fine menu. And we have to see that, you know, this is what's happening in Babylon, is that Nebuchadnezzar, he had a well-formulated plan for the captives. You know, there was a reason behind the agenda that he was pushing out. And we'll see that, you know, he was going to train them and brainwash them. He had it's a, what you call a four-pronged approach. The approach involves the peers, the family, and just as we go through this, you'll hear it. And it happens and it's effective today. Think about your situation, your circumstance, okay? We have isolation, indoctrination, concession. We also have confusion. So with the isolation, they took the people from their homeland, away from their family, their friends, their peers, their priests, and they weren't able to read their law, their scriptures, right? So they got removed from their environments. Indoctrination, you know, we see in verse 4 is that they were taught the language of the Chaldeans. And one might say, well, there's nothing wrong with learning a new language and, you know, but you know, other than the fact that they're changing their worldview, and there's a difference between training academically and brainwashing. And that's kind of where, you know, there's a hidden agenda in this plan that Nebuchadnezzar had. Concession. Okay, let's get these young captives to give up something. It'll be so amazing to them that they would never want to go back. And thinking about this, they had the best caterers, you know, the best food, the food that was fit for the king was given to them. Imagine, you know, being a teenager, how this would have looked, you know. And we see a lot of this stuff happening today, you know, whether it's they're listening to this music, these certain movies, they wanna drive these brand new Camaros and race down the street. And, you know, so much things is put in front of these teenagers. And think about back then. Wow, I get to eat the food that the king eats. So there was a reason behind this. It wasn't that he was like, oh yeah, eat like I eat. There was more to the story. So imagine these teenagers. They're walking up. They see 300 feet walls around the city. The Euphrates River is just running down the through the city. Verdant greenery, the boulevard tiled with limestone and marble. You know, they're just like, wow, their houses were just dropping. They were like, our God didn't protect us from these guys. Maybe it's not real. And they started doubting. Maybe what we learned wasn't real. So there, here you kind of see where there's a twist. Okay, the agenda is starting to reveal itself, right? They're getting confused. So then we see, let's give them new names. Take away their most personal, most precious thing, their identity. So you see a series of events. Let's change who they are. So Daniel, his name meant God is my judge, was changed to Belteshazzar, which means may Bel protect the king. Bel was one of the gods from the pantheon of Babylon. Hananiah, Hebrew for beloved is the Lord. Mishael is who is like God. Azariah is Lord is my help. And you see there's a sense of their true identity, and now this is getting replaced with them. And that moves us into the third principle, commitment begins inwardly. And we'll see in verses 8 through 16 is that the master eunuch, he's worried. He's like, hey, if you don't eat this food, you won't be healthy like the others. And I don't want to lose my head. Because the eunuch knows, hey, if I don't get these guys to do something, I'm gonna get punished. I'm going to be suffering. So he's trying to feed them, you know. It kind of makes me think right now is like how we raise our children, right? Like if I can't get Michael or Savannah to eat and they show up to school all bony and all that, I might say to them, hey, they're going to call Child Protective Services, and I'm trying everything I can to feed these kids. You know, I'm guessing that that's probably how the eunuch was thinking. It's like, hey, I got to get these guys to eat. And Daniel says pretty much, test us. Give us of vegetables and water. And then test us for 10 days. Compare us to the others. And thinking about going from the king's menu to veggies and water, that probably didn't sit well with the others. They're like, what? I'm not going to have the pork chops, lamb shank, and then now they're going to like water and veggies? That probably didn't go well, and they probably became public enemy number one just for recommending this test. And, you know, thinking about this, Daniel made an inward choice, and it made him effective through the rest of this book. And I got to tell you guys, we cannot consider that life is filled with the crisis and decisions. We have right decisions, we have wrong decisions. We have the low roads, we have the high roads. Things may not always go as planned, okay? There will be ups and downs, there will be roller coasters, okay? Every day, almost every day, there will be a fork in the road, okay? And that fork in the road, where you are today, is due to a turn that was taken in the road, the fork of the road yesterday, okay? Thinking about that, okay? So what was the turn in the fork? What was the fork in the road, the turn for Daniel? You know, he made a choice to be distinct, not to defile himself, okay? He made a choice. And we have to make choices too as well. But are we praying about those choices? If I think back to that example I gave to you guys about the security job, right? I wanted that job, but I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask God about, is that where he wanted me to be? At that time, I was in a different place and there was a fork in the road. And I was trying to force myself to go this way on this path. But you know what? I wasn't asking God. There was a decision that had to be made. And are we asking? Are we praying about it? And that doesn't just go with career fields. Think about what you're faced with today. Think about, you know, what does defile yourself mean? There are things that in life that can defile or taint you. What are they? Is it a certain job? Are you in a certain career? Are you in a certain environment with family, or are you just consuming different things, whether it's books, TV? There's many different things that could defile you. For Daniel, he was okay. He was okay learning new stuff, being a servant to the king. Okay, got it. But you know what? He drew a line, and that's when it came to the food. He drew a line. And why? Here's why. Daniel was Jewish. He ate kosher foods, and which certain foods were prohibited by his law. So, you know, he drew a line. He's all right, I'll learn language. I'll learn some stuff. You know, okay, I got it. I'm your servant. Got it. But I will not change this. Now, you might say, big deal. You're 650 miles away. Nobody's going to see you, right? When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians. just like that phrase, when in Vegas, what stays in, goes on in Vegas, stays in Vegas, whatever it is. What happens in Babylon stays in Babylon. Well, you know what? Daniel didn't care about that. He didn't care about what the kings thought. He wasn't looking for an excuse because he had a purpose. And thinking about that, only people that live with a purpose are always looking for excuses. And I think of Proverbs 21:2, which is a lot similar to Isaiah 41:2. No, I'm sorry, 41-2 is every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So here we see Daniel didn't care what the others thought. Drew a line. He didn't have an excuse. He had a purpose. And that was God. You know, the Lord weighs the heart. You know, would Daniel have been punished? Probably not. But the thing is, that's not even the point. He did not want to defile God. Now, I think about this when I was reading this. Is I think about airline pilots, right? You have all these airline pilots. Could you imagine if they all decided not to need guidance from the air traffic controllers? How would our skies look? It would probably be a mess out there. There would probably be plane crashes. Confusion, right? And it might have been fun for a while, but thinking about this is the desire for for individual freedom will destroy the ability to fly, okay? We can't do it on our own. We need God. We need guidance from God. We will have a better chance of making that decision in the fork in the road by seeking God, asking God first when we get to that point and throughout our lives. I think back to that promotion I didn't get, okay? I could have done things my way a lot differently. It got to the point where I had to train the guy that got the job that I wanted. I could have said, forget that, I ain't training him, I quit. Or I could have think about back to the joke that I used to make with Ruth and them. I'm like, you know what? I'm moving back to Portugal. You know what? Forget it. I don't want to deal with you being here anymore. You know, whatever the case may be. But that would have been my own decision. I wouldn't have sought that with counsel and guidance from God. And thinking about that, I think about the being a puppet, right? God has us in a place for a reason. Just like he has our leaders in a place for a reason. He has certain people in certain places for a reason. He's working behind the scenes. God didn't want me to move back to Portugal because if he did, opportunities would have came up. God didn't want me to become a security manager because he has different plans. He has different plans. He has plans for each one of us, okay? So thinking about this, what's defiling you? Certain books, magazines, television shows, is it the company or the relationships that you're surrounded yourself with? Remember, living a life with awareness that nobody else is looking or maybe looking is defiling within itself because God is always looking, always. I think about the story of Moses, right? He observed the Egyptian mistreating the Jewish person, right? He inserts himself, he kills the Egyptian, and then he buries him in the sand. The Bible says, Moses saw this, and he looked this way, he looked that way, and he killed him. The problem is that Moses didn't look that way up. He didn't look up. He looked left, he looked right, but he didn't look up. God watches. And I think about society. America, the world, whatever the case may be, just in America itself, how many times is U.S. or America or wherever looking side to side and they're not looking up? 1962, prayer was removed from schools. 1963, Bible reading was removed from schools. 1973, abortion was legalized. 1980, the Ten Commandments was removed from school. 1992, human defines life. not God. 2015, marriages are redefined. I think too many people are looking side to side and they're just not looking up. And that leads us into the fourth principle. When you live that way, loyal to God, God always honors loyalty. And verses 17 to the end of the chapter, Daniel is brought in for a personal interview with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and the three ended up having God's favor and God's grace. And we'll see if we, you know, it makes you think what they just went through, the test that they just went through, just their initial fork in the road, right? They got favor and grace with God. We can't outgive God, okay? But these men wholeheartedly gave themselves to the Lord. And I think about Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Wow. God's grace and favor. Three ways that God had honored these young men, and we'll see it as reverence. We saw in verse 9, Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Preference, we see in verse 20, the top of the class, valuable in the kingdom now. Three, influence. We see in verse 21, Daniel influenced four kings all the way up to King Cyrus. So we know, we'll see, and we know that there is favor and grace with this these young men. Thinking about this, Daniel chose what started out as a crisis, what started out as a mess, and he turned that mess into a message. So thinking, Satan lies. And I thought about this reading today. Satan lies to all of us, and he will use many different avenues. He tries to get us to think that if we serve God, we won't be popular. And that goes back to that whole status quo thing, okay? But here's the challenge to you, to each one of you. Are you going to be a thermometer or a thermostat? Some people are like thermometers. If the world is into this, I'm going to be into this. Go along with the group. Okay. But some are also like thermostats, right? Not recording what is going on, but regulates what's going on around them. So, you know, how can we do that? How can we not conform? How can we not go with what's going on in the world? You know, sometimes you have to kind of withdraw from some of the stuff that's defiling. Does the news give good information? Yeah, sometimes, sometimes not. But the biggest thing is when we're listening to this stuff that's going on around us, are we praying for them? Are we staying true to God? Are we pleasing God? We don't want to displease God. We want to please God. We have to invite him into our hearts and minds and pray for those that are put in certain positions, because God puts people in certain positions. But at the same time, he wants to say, hey, you may not agree with this person, but are you praying for them? You know, we don't have to, you know, it's almost like a test. We can control what's going on around us. We pray for those that we don't agree with. We pray for those and all the situations that is going on around us. You know, you might think, hey, you know what, I'll share the word of God. But, you know, if these people just absolutely don't want to hear it or whatever the case may be, we just got to pray for them and, you know, move to the next person that will want to hear it and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord, as their Lord and Savior. We can be a thermostat. Daniel was a thermostat. We have to think about what do you want to be? Who are you? What direction and fork in the road that you're going to take when these unexpected changes in your plans and life occur? And we'll see that, and we'll see definitely what's going to happen in the rest of Daniel, what to do and how to please God.